James chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 7, and we're going to finish up our thoughts today about how to live at harvest time. How to live at harvest time. James chapter 5, and beginning with verse 7 this morning. James writes, "Be patient then, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the earth to yield its precious crops, and how patient he is, waiting for the autumn and spring rains, the former and the latter rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance, and you've seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking together at this prophetic section of the letter of James. And we discovered that although these words were written to Jewish believers that lived almost 2,000 years ago, the day that they speak of is our day, harvest time. I believe with all my heart that we are living in the greatest hour ever on the earth. We are living in the days of the culmination of human history. James says the appearing, the parousia of the Lord is near. That word parousia, it describes a royal visit by a king in the full display of his pomp and circumstance. Soon and very soon, the whole world is going to see Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in the full demonstration of his majesty and glory and power. And on that day, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, someday many will do that under compulsion, but today the awesome thing is that you and I have the free will to make that a confession of our faith. And I want us to say those words together this morning. Jesus Christ is Lord. Will you say it with me? Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, say it again. Jesus Christ is Lord. One more time. Jesus Christ is Lord. James says that we're living in the days of his appearing, his parousia. And so that also means that this is harvest time. Be patient for the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the earth to yield its precious fruit, waiting patiently for the former and latter rains. James says if the appearing of the Lord is near, then it must be that this is harvest time. Jesus said it this way. He said, the harvest is the end of the age. We're living in the season of the latter rain. We're living in the season of the last outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the whole earth to bring people to Christ before the end of this age. The former rain fell on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the 120, and Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, stood up and he spoke and he said, this is that which Joel spoke of. That was the former rain. The latter rains have been falling for the last 100 years since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the turn of the last century. Do you know that in the last 100 years, more people have become followers of Jesus Christ than in all 19 centuries of church history that preceded it put together? On the day of Pentecost, when the former rain was falling, 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus in one day. Now today, in the time of the latter rain, it is estimated that every 29 seconds, 3,000 people become followers of Jesus Christ around the globe. And beloved, listen, if that isn't end time harvest, then I don't know what is. This isn't a time to be discouraged. This is not a time to be downcast. This is not a time to be in despair over the economy or dismayed when you see things lining up on the world stage the way the Bible says that they will. Believers in Jesus Christ are those that love the signs of his appearing. So listen, every time you see a headline and there's another event in the world that takes us one step closer to the end, rather than being downcast, outcast and dismayed over it, what you need to say is, I love that. I love that news. I love that because it means Jesus is coming back very soon. Don't you be downcast. Lift up your head because your redemption draws near. This is an unprecedented time of opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, beloved. This is the church's finest hour. And we're going to shine for God like never before. These verses in James 5, they're written as a word of encouragement to us, to believers in the last days. They're written to encourage us to bear up under the tremendous pressure that the world is putting on us. They're written to encourage us in our labors to bring in the harvest in spite of financial hardships and pressures. They're written to encourage us in the face of injustices. They're written to encourage us to cling to hope that God is near and that He's on His way to rescue and deliver and vindicate us. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here today to speak living words of encouragement to somebody. If you've been discouraged, if you've been downcast, if you're discouraged because of the economy or because of situations in your life, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you today with some words about how to live at harvest time. As I look at the words of James 5, I see three words of guidance about how to live at harvest time. They correspond with three Greek words that occur in these verses. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first word. The first word was this, stay focused, stay focused. The Greek word was sturizo. In James 5:8, James says, if you're living at harvest time, establish your hearts. In the NIV translation we read this morning, it says, stand firm. The Greek word there is sturizo, and sturizo means to fix your mind on something, to lock in and to focus on it. And so we talked about some things to fix our minds on, to stay focused on at harvest time. Stay focused on the call, stay focused on the hour, and stay focused on the Lord. Last week, we looked at the second word of guidance for how to live at harvest time, and that is the word stay sweet. Stay sweet. That's the Greek word macrothymia. Macrothymia. That word macrothymia appears four times in these verses in James 5, in 7, in 8, in 10. It's translated patience in your English Bible. And the word macrothymia means long suffering. It means patience with people. It means to forgive and to forbear. It means to exercise restraint when you really want to retaliate against someone who has hurt you. My friends in Southwest Missouri would sum up macrothymia this way, stay sweet. Stay sweet towards other believers and stay sweet towards unbelievers. Do you ever notice how sometimes your own words come back to haunt you? My kids heard me preaching on stay sweet last week. So that's been the theme in our house this week. Every time Daddy's been close to blowing his stack, my kids have been saying to me, stay sweet, Daddy, stay sweet. How do I live at harvest time? I stay focused, number one, and I stay sweet, secondly. Now today, we're going to give the final word. You ready for the last word?
Yes.
I don't think you're ready for it. Are you ready for the last word? All right, you gotta help me out because first was a bummer, second was worse. I'm preaching for the Spanish church this afternoon. I can't wait to get there because I at least know that they'll be with me. So maybe you can help me bail out Sunday morning, all right? Can you be with me this morning? All right, thank you. That's good. Here's the last word of guidance for living at harvest time, and it's this, stay strong. Stay strong. The Greek word is hupomene. Stay strong. A little while ago, we talked about some ironies in the Bible when it comes to certain people. We talked about Solomon, for example. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. Yet Solomon was foolish enough to believe that he could disobey God and not suffer the consequences. And so it turns out, ironically, that the wisest man in the world was really not too smart. Abraham, the father of all who live by faith. We look at his life and we find out that he had a constant battle with fear. And he tried to help God along with the fulfillment of his promises. Listen to me, beloved. Never try to help God do his job. If you try to do God's job for him, you will only make a mess. Don't hatch your cockamamie schemes and your half-baked plans to try and help God along. Just be patient and let him do what he says he's going to do. We talked about David, the man after God's own heart, who committed adultery, and then he conspired to have his lover's husband killed to cover up when the cover-up plan backfired. And when I look at James 5:11, it looks like here we go again. Especially if you happen to read James 5:11 in the King James Version. It says in James 5:11 in King James, it says, "As you know, we consider those blessed who have persevered. You have heard of Job's patience and have seen what the Lord brought about." The patience of Job? Really? Here we go again. If Ronnie were here, he'd say, "There you go again, Mr. President." Here we go again. Solomon the smart, Abraham the faithful, David the pure-hearted, and Job the patient. See, if you look really closely at the story of Job, you find that he actually had some fairly significant lapses in patience. Job struggled to stay sweet. He struggled with the injustice of what was happening to him. He questioned God. He said, "God, why do bad things happen to good people and why do good things happen to bad people?" Have you ever looked around and asked yourself that question? Living in Greenwich, I ask that my question every day. Job struggled with God's seeming indifference to his suffering. He struggled with why God was ignoring his cries for help. He demanded that God give him an audience so that he could make his case. Patient? Job? It looks like another one of those ironies. But actually, if you look a little bit more closely at James 5:11, James never says that Job was patient. James uses a different word. And maybe therein lies the key to all of these other ironies. James says, "You have heard of Job's perseverance." The word there is the Greek word hupomene. And that's the third word of guidance for how to live at harvest time. How do I live at harvest time? I stay focused, sterizo. I stay sweet, macrothymia. And finally, I stay strong, hupomene. Hupomene means simply to stay. In fact, in the New Testament, it's used at times in a very general sense to indicate someone just stayed behind. This word hupomene is used of Jesus when he visited the temple as a little boy and his parents went on home, but Jesus hupomene, Jesus stayed behind and they didn't know it. But here in James 5 and in other places, hupomene means to stay put in the sense of perseverance. Hupomene means to stand strong. It means to stand fast. Hupomene means to stay firmly planted even when others decide to move on to greener pastures or to bigger and better things. There was a time in Jesus' ministry when many others moved on from him. And so Jesus turned and he asked the disciples, he said, "Are you going to move on too?" And the disciples said, "Lord, where else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." That's hupomene. For some people, Jesus is just a passing fad in their lives, but hupomene is staying firmly at his side even when the crowd moves on. Hupomene means to hold your ground when others run away in fear. This is what Shammah, one of David's mighty men of valor, did in a lentil field one day. 2 Samuel records the story. The Philistine army came full force against Israel, and the entire Israelite army turned and ran away in fear. But something rose up in the heart of Shammah, David's mighty man, and he stood his ground. He planted his feet in that lentil field, and he squared off against the enemy, and he said, "Not today. You are not going to take my beans today." And beloved, listen to me. There are some times in our lives when we need to stand our ground and plant our feet and say to the enemy, "Not today. You are not going to take my kids today. You are not going to take my finances today. You are not going to take my future today. Not today, devil. I'm standing my ground against you." That is hupomene. Hupomene means to stay the course, even when others turn back. When I was a kid, we used to sing the words, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back." That's hupomene. Hupomene means to stay resolute. It means to stay determined, to stay convinced. It doesn't mean to just passively endure whatever comes our way. It means to resist. It means to push back against the onslaught of the enemy against you. Hupomene means to have a tenacious spirit. It means, come hell or high water, I'm going to hold on to my God and I'm never going to let go. And maybe that's the real key. Maybe that's the key to all of them. Abraham, David, Solomon, Job, and all the others in the hall of the heroes of faith. When we read the stories of their lives, we find out that they were just men and women, just like you and me. They were earthen vessels, or as I like to say it, crackpots. They were messed up. And they did mess up royally. They struggled with fear. They wrestled with doubt. They wondered and they worried if God would ever really come through. But in the end, what made their lives different from all the rest was hupomene. God, I'm going to hold on to you no matter what, and I'm never going to let go. Listen to me, beloved. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is not even the absence of doubt. Faith is the decision to keep on holding on to God and the word of his promise, even when every circumstance in my life tells me that I should just hang it up. As we look at the story of Job, the enemy hit him in three places that he always does. Hit him in his finances, hit him in his family, and hit him in his physical health. It's the demonic trifecta. And as I look at Job's fight to stand his ground, I find a few ways that we need to stay strong. A few ways that we need to stay strong. First of all, we need to stay strong in the faith that God is good. We need to stay strong in the belief, the conviction that God is good. Job said these words. He said, "He gives and he takes away. Nevertheless, blessed be the name of the Lord." Stay strong in the faith that he loves you no matter what. Listen to me, beloved. Loving is not simply what God does. Loving is what God is. He is love, and he cannot help but to love you and me. He says in his word, "I love you with an everlasting love." God never stops loving us. Have faith in that. No matter what, no matter what challenge, no matter what obstacle, no matter what loss, no matter what comes your way, stay strong in the faith that he loves you. Stay strong in the faith that there are spiritual realities to your situation that perhaps you don't understand. There is spiritual warfare that is going on. We live in a world full of spiritual warfare, and perhaps the things that have happened to you are happening to you because of spiritual warfare. You know, why is it that, you know, when things are going well, we seldom give God the amount of credit that he really deserves for the blessings, but as soon as things start to go poorly, why is it we always blame God instantly? Oh, okay, well, you don't, all right? You're more spiritual. You know, I struggle with that, but I'm out there by myself, I can see. Well, why is it we always blame God? Do you know what? Here's something we got to get straight in our mind. Good God, bad devil. You with me? Good God, bad devil. I want you to say it with me. Good God, bad devil. And the reality is we share the world with a bad devil who is out to get you and me, who is out to thwart us. He is out to discourage us. He is out to strip us, if he can, of the blessings that God has prepared for us. And the reason things are happening to you is because there is spiritual warfare. We have to understand that God has big picture purposes sometimes in our lives that are beyond our present ability to understand. God is working something out on behalf of others. God is working something out on behalf of the world that is beyond you and me. And the reason that the answer to our prayers is delayed is because there's something bigger going on that's beyond the scope of what we can comprehend. In the end of the book of Job, God speaks finally to Job, and after God speaks, Job humbles himself and he repents before the Lord, and he says, God, now I understand that there are some things that are too wonderful for me. There are some things that happen to me in life that are beyond my ability to comprehend. I simply choose, hupomene, to cling to you and trust in your goodness. I find most of the times in my life, I find that a few years down the road after I've been through something, I see what purpose God had in it. I remember when we made the decision 10 years ago to chop this building in half and to build this half first and to wait to build the second half. I remember languishing really in my time alone with God, wondering if I had failed God because I didn't have enough faith to believe him for the whole thing at one shot. I struggled terribly with it. And then a couple of years later, I found out what God was doing, because in that intervening period, the zoning regulations changed in our favor so that we were allowed now to build double the size building that we were originally allowed to build. If we had built it 10 years ago, we would have built it too small and it couldn't have been fixed. Sometimes we find out years later, we find out what God was doing. We find out, but there are other times in life that we may never know. And they're just simply things that are too wonderful for us. And we say, God, you give and you take away. Nevertheless, blessed be your name. Stand firm in the faith that God is worthy of your praise no matter what. He's worthy of your praise no matter what. Well, one of the powerful messages of the book of Job is that our praise, God doesn't deserve our praise because of the good things that he's done for us. He deserves our praise. He's worthy of our praise solely because he is God. And that was perhaps the point of the whole thing, for Job to come to the place where he says, Lord, no matter what befalls me, whether the blessings are flowing or whether it's a battle and it's a struggle and a challenge, nevertheless, God, I'm going to give you praise because you are worthy. Amen. Stay strong in the faith that God is good. Secondly, stay strong in the faith that God is working it all out for your good. Stay strong in the faith that God is working it all out for your good. Job cried out. He said, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Stay strong in the faith that God has not abandoned you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't given up on you. God hasn't changed his mind about you. He is still with you and he knows just where you're at. Job said, I looked for God in the east. I couldn't find him there. I looked for God in the west. I couldn't find him. I looked for him in the north. I looked for him in the south. I couldn't find him anywhere. But nevertheless, even though I couldn't see him, I know he still sees me. And listen to me, in those moments in your life when you can't see God, stand strong in the faith that he still sees you. In those moments in your life when you can't feel him, stand strong in the faith that he still feels you. We have a great high priest, Jesus, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how bad it hurts. Listen, he has your number. He knows your address. He knows exactly where you're at. You say, Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. At the end of the rope is where you find Jesus. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Guys, he knows how many used to be on our head. Ladies, he knows what color they really are under there. He knows the way that I take. Stay strong in the faith that Jesus is interceding for you. Profound scripture in Job. Job says in Job 16, he says, even now my witness is in heaven. Even now my advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God, on behalf of man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend. Job said, here's how I know. Here's how I know in the midst of my darkest time. Here's how I know I'm going to make it through, because there is an intercessor in heaven who is pleading my case before him. It's just like the Jews living in Jerusalem when the walls were broken down and they were in distress and despair and the enemy was just ravaging them constantly all the time. What they didn't know is that over in Susa, there was an intercessor in the palace named Nehemiah who was entreating the king on their behalf, and he was releasing from the king the provision and the blessings and the authority to boot the enemy out of their lives for good. And what you don't know on your darkest day is that there is an intercessor in heaven, Jesus the righteous, who is pleading your case before the face of the Father. And because he's God's son, God can't help but listen to him. He has a soft spot and he has to do it. Jesus is interceding for you. Stay strong in the faith that God is not punishing you, but he's purifying you. Stay strong in the faith that he's not punishing you. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Everybody look at me. Look at me right now, please. Job's friends, his comforters, they insisted that all of this happened to Job because of some kind of sin in his life. Have you ever noticed how there's always people like that? When you're going through a difficult time, they always come. Oh, what'd you do, boy? It must have been a dilly. Look at me. There is no punishment for believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus took it all. He paid the price in full. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is paid in full. There is no punishment for believers in Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The cross of Jesus is the power to undo the consequences of every rotten thing we've done. There is no punishment for believers, but there is purification. And the things that you're experiencing and going through in your life are not to punish you, but to purify you. The writer of Hebrews says this. He says, endure hardships. Guess what the word is? Hupomene. Endure hardships, hupomene, as discipline. God is treating you as a son because the Lord disciplines everyone he loves. He does this for our good. Beloved, when you're in a battle, stand strong in the faith that God is working it all out for the good. I don't know about you, but I have the Romans 8:28 clause written over my life. You know what that says, right? We know this. All things. Come on. All things. You know what that means in Greek? It means everything. All things are working together for the good of those who love God and who are called to his harvest. Stand fast in the faith that he's working it all out for good. Last thing. Stay strong until the better end. Stay strong until the better end. You know, you've heard the expression, hang on till the bitter end with Jesus. It's stay strong till the better end. Stay strong in the faith that you will live to see the Lord's salvation. Job says this. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. Listen, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns for this. What is Job saying? Job is saying, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad he socked my finances, no matter how bad he destroyed my family, no matter how bad he has affected my physical health, Job says, I cling to this hope that I will yet see with my eyes the salvation of the Lord, that I will yet see his rescue, that it will come in my lifetime, that he will answer my prayer, that breakthrough will come, that victory will come, that his deliverance will come for me. David said it this way. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Stand strong in the faith that God is going to answer your prayers. Stay strong in the faith, excuse me, that your end belongs to the Lord. Stay strong in the faith that your end belongs to the Lord. James 5:11 is an interesting verse in the Greek language. We read the NIV translation. The NIV says, you've heard of Job's perseverance and you've seen what the Lord brought about. The King James translation follows the Greek more closely, and it literally says there, you have seen Job's perseverance and you have seen the end of the Lord. You've seen the end of the Lord. Now, that's not talking about the end of God. God is eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end. What it means there is it means that the end is his, that the end belongs to him. Listen, the end of Job's story belonged to the Lord. There may have been some warfare. There may have been some trials. The enemy may have had a little room to get some shots in, but the end belonged to the Lord. The end of the story of this whole spinning globe belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to the United Nations. It doesn't belong to any coalitions. It doesn't belong to any access or any allies. The end of this whole spinning globe, it belongs to the Lord. It's all in his hands, and it's all going to go down according to his plan. Listen to me. The end of my story, the end of my story, it belongs to the Lord because he is the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. My end belongs to him. I want you to look at somebody right now and I want you to say, your end belongs to the Lord. For some of us, God's got some big work cut out for us. Your end belongs to the Lord. My end belongs to him. It's his. I have a word from the Holy Spirit for you. The way things are today is not how things are going to end for you. the financial struggles that you're facing today is not how it's going to end for you. The family struggles you're facing today is not how it's going to end for you. The physical struggles you're facing today is not how it's going to end for you. Your end belongs to Him. The things that cause you heartache and sorrow, it's not how it's going to end for you. Your end is not loneliness. Your end is not anxiety. Your end is not depression. Your end is not failure. Your end is not fruitlessness. Your end is not a family, kids and grandkids who are far away from the Lord. That is not how it's going to end for you. Your end belongs to Him. You want to hear how it's going to end for you? This is how it's going to end for you: in the compassion and the mercy of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's how it's going to end for you. Your ladder will be greater than your past. Receive it. Your ladder will be greater than your past. Come on, receive grace right now. Your ladder will be greater than your past. The glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the first. The Bible says that God restored Job everything, and it says that the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. I don't care if you're 25 or 45 or 55 or 65 or 5. I don't care. Your latter will be greater than your past. The end will be better than the beginning. The best is yet to come. Thank you, Jesus. Here's how it ends for you. It ends with God giving you double for your trouble. It says that in the end, you see the end that the Lord brought about. You see the Lord's end. You've heard of the hupomene, of the perseverance of Job, and you see the end that the Lord brought about. Full of compassion and mercy, God gave Job double for the trouble. It's a very funny thing. Job had 10 children. He had one wife. Bible says that he had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. He had 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and he had many servants. At the end, it all doubled. He had 14,000 sheep. He had 6,000 camels. He had 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. He had many more servants. He had 10 kids and one wife at the beginning. Do you know how many kids? How many kids did he have at the end? No. He had 10 kids and one wife. Why? Because the Lord is compassionate and full of mercy. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. You know when your quiver is full? Is when you start quivering, then it's full. Hupomene. It means I'm going to hold on to God. I'm going to cling to the word of His promise no matter what. Doubt may come. Fear may try to overtake me. But I'm going to hold to His unchanging hand. That's how to live at harvest time. Come on, stand up with me. Come on, Pastor Nick. Come and help us. Put your hands up. Let's give the Lord some worship in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your hands to the Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you just begin worshiping Him? Come on, lift your face to heaven. Would you just begin telling Him, Lord, I trust You. Lord, I believe You. Lord, I cling to You. Lord, I hold on to You. Though He slay me, yet will I hope in Him. He knows the way that I take. And when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I know that my Redeemer lives.